when John was writing this gospel, he was thinking of the Anglican Church. This was clearly a Eucharistic chapter, you know, and I just was often thinking about it. He thought to himself, you know, God is going to establish a church someday, and this is going to be their flagship chapter in the whole Bible, because it's going to talk about the amazing blessing we have in the Holy Sacrament. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Obviously, we're not talking about, you know, our daily bread at home. We're talking about the spiritual nourishment that satisfies unto eternal life. All of us know how many times in our lives we've had this feeling, if we get just this one more thing, then we're going to be okay. You know, some of you can kind of remember that path in your life, you know. If I could just find the right woman, you know. If I could just get a home of my own. If I could just get a car. And, you know, and it went on and on. Then I'd be satisfied. The only thing that really satisfies is for us to have that personal encounter with the living God. Because he's the one who fills that empty spot in our hearts. And he nourishes us and blesses us. I'm so thankful for our Old Testament lesson. This fascinating story about how, you know, God fed the people of Israel in the desert. And it started out with this wonderful description of the church. They complained. They complained, and it says God heard their complaining. Now, this is good news and bad news. You know, when you complain to God, he does hear you. Now, here's the good news. He doesn't hold it against you. Hallelujah. You know, he not only did not hold it against them, you know, what he did is he knew what was really hungering in their hearts, and he met that need supernaturally, one day at a time. You ever wondered why? Why didn't he just give them, you know, enough quail that they were just hanging around them all the time and they could just roast a quail anytime they wanted to, you know? Why wasn't it that they could just have this wonderful manna from heaven and it would last for, you know, a week just until you could get to Costco again, you know? But there's something here about us learning that it's not a one-time thing, this thing of meeting God. We need him all the time. We need to be reminded every day, you know, that there is a hunger that needs to be fed every day. We need to find ourselves connecting with the blessing that God gives us. He said, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." It becomes really clear that Jesus is telling them, he is the bread of life. He is, when you receive Jesus into your heart, you know, then you receive that which satisfies spiritually and eternally. And it is an amazing blessing. And it gives us the gift of the Holy Sacrament to give us a way of coming and re-encountering that special moment of receiving him again, preciously, just to be reminded again of what it is to receive that blessing in our heart, to quicken in us the real presence of the living God. Then it says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." This is not talking about if you receive communion, you're going to go to heaven. You got that one? It's what it's saying is if you receive Jesus into your heart and accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're going to go to heaven. Because he is the bread of life. that gives the gift of eternal life. Now, the interesting thing about this is we just kind of stopped a little early. My favorite part of this is John 6, verse 60 says, "This is a hard saying. Who can listen to it?" Remember? And then it immediately follows, many stopped following him. Because he was claiming to be God. He was claiming to be the gift of God's eternal life. He was claiming things that they just weren't prepared to accept. So people that followed after him, you know, suddenly it wasn't good enough. Now, I love this thing. What sign will you give us? Now, you do remember he just got done feeding 5,000 people with a few little bread and fish, right? You know, but that wasn't good enough for them. Now, I don't know about you. What's good enough for you? You know, what do you need? You know, these people obviously needed more every day. They needed to be reminded again of Jesus, who he was, and what it was that he was teaching them. You know, I have a sister who died of cancer a couple of years ago, Linda. Linda fell in love with praise music. I also fell in love with praise music. But she said, "I would give up anything for praise music." It's very interesting. She'd give up communion. She'd give up evangelical sermons. She'd give up anything as long as she could stand there and praise the Lord and enjoy the wonderful blessing of that. It's very interesting. And I said, without even stopping to think, "I'd give up anything for Holy Communion. Because it satisfies and nourishes in such a special way." When I was at St. Luke's in Merced, we had a Lenten program in which we asked everybody this question: why is it that you settled on this particular church? What was that one thing that helped you make that final decision? And all but one person said it was Holy Communion. It was very interesting. They came from all kinds of different backgrounds, but they found out there was something so special in the blessing that they received in receiving Holy Communion. Now, why is it possible to receive Holy Communion every Sunday for your whole life and never receive a blessing? You completely missed the point as to what it was all about, just like they did, by the way. It says you missed the point of the miracles, right? The point was they haven't accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. They haven't asked him to, within that, you know, remember that wonderful song, those wonderful, there's wonderful power in the blood of the Lamb, right? Yes, and there's an amazing thing. I had a friend that was a Baptist pastor in Coalinga, and he and I were about the same age. We both had been in business world, and God called us into our thing, and we used to tease each other all the time. And I called him up one day, and I said, "I found out the difference in our churches." And he said, "Well, what's that?" And I said, "Well," I said, "we wallow in the Word of God, and you wallow in the opinion of the pastor." And then I hung up. And, well, so anyway, you know, he calls me back up, you know, and this was going back and forth like this. And then I called him up, and I said, "Hey, I got a question for you. I can't figure it out. Why do you guys have altar calls and no altar?" I said, "Come on over to our church. I'll be glad to let you use our altar." I want you to know, if you ever wondered, we have an altar call every week. Amen. Mm-hmm. If you've never discovered it that way, you know, we're having an altar call. We're inviting you to come and give your heart fresh to Jesus and to receive him afresh, a fresh blessing from him, and be nourished and expect power to come into you. Because it does. It goes forth. I think that God gives us the ability to short-circuit his power. What a shame. You know, we've got one plug in our house that if you put things in it, what it does is it causes a light to go off. I've never figured out what that's about, so what we do is we ignore it. And we don't touch that one because it's cursed. I know what it is. But somehow God lets us do this. He lets us short-circuit his power if we come not expecting to receive a blessing from him as we come forward and receive the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Expect miracles. Because, by the way, those places where they expect miracles, miracles happen. So if you're not getting enough miracles, guess what? It just might be that you're not expecting miracles to be happening in your life. So I encourage you, expect miracles when you receive the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I love this Ephesians reading, by the way. I can't ignore it. This is an amazing reading. He talks about the spirit and life God gives us. And that we are able, because we have received Jesus into our heart, because the Holy Spirit is alive in us, and he's doing transforming work in us, it says, we're able to throw off our old sinful nature and our former way of life. He empowers us to do that by his Spirit. He comes in and just removes that old dead stuff out of us, and he goes in and he changes it. And he releases in us what he intended from the beginning, and that's his blessing. And then he says this, put on our new nature, truly righteous and holy. I like this one. With renewed thoughts and attitudes. Anybody here need to be renewed in your thoughts and attitudes every day? Every day. Every day. Pray it every single day, everybody. I don't know about you, but I need it probably every hour to be reminded. I've become addicted to watching certain news programs. I think maybe it's a curse. But what happens is it causes me to desperately pray. This world is falling apart. People don't know how to live godly, righteous, and holy lives because they try to do it on their own strength. And by your own strength, you will always, always fail. So, people of God, we are blessed. We are blessed with a wonderful gift. And Jesus is going to offer you an altar call to come today to give your heart to Jesus again. We don't have to play Just As I Am. You come forward and you say, Jesus, bless me. Come into my heart. Chase out everything that is impure. Everything that is not godly, everything that is not holy, and make me yours. And take something and get my thoughts and attitudes straightened out. Because I need house cleaning in my brain. And I think maybe more than one of you do too. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord our God, we just thank you and praise you for your many gifts to us, your church. We pray, O Lord God, that we would not overlook any of the power blessings that you're offering to us. We pray that you would build up our expectation, that you would move in power, that the precious blood of the Lamb would be coming and chasing out evil out of our hearts and giving us now new power and the wonderful gifts of your blessed Spirit. Purify our minds, purify our consciences, make us new and whole. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.